It's a different area, on the fear to draw the sword. And this area is a matter of trying to understand in the book of Judges what happened to this young man named Jether, and how he got into the place that when Gideon told him, he said, now draw the sword and take this man's head off. On Judges chapter 8, if we'll stand and we'll read the Word of God. Judges chapter 8. And I want to read verses 18 through 21 and try to preach there for a few minutes. Verses 18 through 21. Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom you slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother, as the Lord liveth. If you had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his son, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the young one, he drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. Gibeon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Lord, I believe that what was said to my heart and into my mind as I dwelt upon it is that I might stand in the way of that of demonstration of power and spirit. I ask you, God, that in these moments and at this moment of this church and in the area that where we are in the providence and the working of God, in the matter of where we cross paths with people in our journey, as Brother Jones spoke about, as we're on a journey, we're just pilgrims and strangers passing through. And Lord, tonight, though there are still some soldiers that are the men that in your work that you have given to the matter of being a good soldier, I don't want to deny the place of being a good student of the Word of God. And I don't want to get away from the place of being a good servant of the Lord. But being a good servant. But oh God, you have brought and designated unto certain men in the way that you want them to go and what you want them to do. In the matter of where they must stand in that place. And God, as you've set that in a way, I pray that every one of us would submit and give ourselves wholly unto God, as our preacher preached, and that we'll do the will of God in these days and do not hinder the work of whatever you want to do in each life. And everyone, no matter what you want to do with them, let us not stumble them, but, oh God, fulfill the will of God for our lives. And whatever you want done with us, I ask you tonight, Lord, if there be one young person, that, Lord, that they would come and take courage in the Lord and lay hold on God and fight the battle of faith for the glory of God and give their lives unto you. Help us now, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You be seated. Let's get on with it and get into the area of on three things I want to talk about tonight. And I want to get there to them as these three things that I would want to get across tonight. As a man is, so is his strength. Verse 21. And then verse 18. What kind of men were these? What kind of men were these? He asked him. And he turned around at Gideon. He said, as thou art, so were they. I mean, these men had died. They were slain at Tabor. And come away with it and come back to it. Tabor meant broken hearted. These men were slain at a broken heart. They were slain with a broken heart. And just to put it all together and not try to worry about homiletically, you know. And I want to say the point is they were brokenhearted over the matter of losing so many battles. Men that lose the battles. And let me go on and then I'll come back to that. As a man is, so is his strength. As thou art, so were they. They were men looked as kings. But I gave you the reference of what kind of condition they were in when they were slain. But he said, they're like you, Gideon. They were like kings. They were like sons. They were great men. Then he said, as I do, so shall ye do. Three things. As a man is, so is his strength. As thou art, so were they. As I do, so shall ye do. And he's telling them, as I do, you do like I do. As I do, so shall you do. That's what he's telling them, do like I do. Now let's begin with this. First, he had to get the army. And he brought them down there, to that hill of Moriah. Means teaching. And he talked to them about, ye who are fearful and afraid. He's cutting the ranks down. There's 32,000 at that time. And he's cutting them down. And he does the testing of them. And the Lord said, you bring them down there. I'll test them. And I'll tell you who will go and who won't go. That's pretty good, ain't it? You bring them down there, and I'll test them, and I'll tell them where they go. Not me, and not you. God will tell them where they go and what they do. Amen, amen. It ain't for me to tell a man of God what to do. It ain't for me to show him where to go. God said, I'll test him, and I'll show him, and I'll tell him where to go. Amen. Yeah, God tells you what to do and where to go. The Lord tells you where to go and what to do. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I believe in pastoral authority too, don't you? I believe in him, the matter of leading the church. Well, that's down here on leadership. Amen. He brought him down there and he cut the ranks down. And how he did it, he went them over to the water, right? And they were lapping the water. One of them was down like a dog, but the other was lapping that water. And they'd be looking around. You're going to have to have some vigilance about you. Some vigilance. Amen. Brother Jones uses that text on humility. Casting thy cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Next verse says, be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, as a devil, walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist and be steadfast in the faith. Amen. Be steadfast in the faith. Amen. 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 That's vigilance, my brother. That's vigilance. Amen. That's vigilance. Amen. Humble thyself under the mighty you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, then you'll be humble to people. That'll make you humble. You start talking to God as you take your way home at night, you know, and God says, humble. You know what I'm talking about? Humble! So, yes, Lord, yes, Lord! Humble under the hand of God, then you'll humble the man. If you take it the other way, you're humbling the man in submission to him, amen. Woo! Amen! True humility comes from the place of true prayer with God, true brokenness with God, true places with God, that God shows you that you're not being the person you ought to be, and God will humble you and make you humble unto people. He'll make you humble to him. That's exactly right. Man's got too many problems about humbling to each other. True! Ain't no true humility. I said there ain't no true humility. I need it too, brother. I need it. But I want to be real, don't you? I have a hard time being real. Because I've got a deceitful heart and pride. I got a hard set of pride. Everybody has that. I know they have a hard time with pride. Have a hard time, I do. And it's in a sense, well, I don't want to get full off on that. I don't need to get on that. And then I'll have somebody say, yeah, Brother Harvey. So what kind of vigilance ought you have? There's an adversary, the devil. They just got through talking to preachers today. He said, I don't understand what's taking place. I said, I don't either, brother. But I know one thing, the devil's getting advantage of all of it. He's getting advantage with it, buddy. He's getting advantage in the situations that we're in. There's been trouble. There ought to be some vigilance. Then there ought not to be vaunting yourself. He said they'd boast. They're vaunting themselves there. He talked about how they boast about themselves. And the vaunting of oneself there and boasting. And let me say this on that one point right there. Look, don't have no boasting. Let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Okay, hear me. Don't let somebody get up and start boasting that's never done it. Don't talk me to put me and take a veteran up there and get some little old boy to tell me about fighting in a war and never been there. Never been there. Don't set leadership before you with somebody that's never experienced it and never had the place of hanging their harness up. Amen. Don't take a child and tell a man what to do. I'm going to try to be real nice right here. And don't take a woman and let her tell you what to do, man. And woman, don't try to take the place and tell the man what to do. I don't care if he ain't doing right. Don't tell him what to do. And then, okay, Brother Harvey, why don't you be nice and say, I'm trying my best. I know you don't think I'm trying my best. I'm trying. I say, woman, you know, and she say, you got the sweetest little old woman. You got the sweet little girl, and you're going to kill her, Brother Harvey. I said, I'm trying not to. What does she want? She wants some kind of wimp. She wants somebody that's not going to take the responsibility of being the leader. But she wants somebody that's that. Now, listen now. It's not going to be nice. So just go in the kitchen and cry, because we're fixing to lay it on these kids right here, right now. It ain't going to be nice. No, please don't hurt them. You know, and that's the way she ought to be, you know. She tells me, brother, my grandson is about 5'10", 11, and he can squat 600 pounds, you know, 600 full squat, you know, and everything. He's a big one. And I don't know, I know he done the Tennessee walk twice. He had a letter of intent to play for Auburn, but he got so broke up he couldn't go. And I was preaching to him one. I was preaching one time. He was sitting there, and I said, "Ricky," I said, "when it comes to popping steel and running that ball and doing all that," I said, "you're macho, you're a big boy." But I said, "when it comes to living for God, you're a wimp." I said, "when it comes to telling somebody about Jesus, you're a wimp. When it comes standing out there on the streets and preaching the gospel or telling somebody about the Lord or going knocking on a door or going to praying in a prayer room or getting in a place where you call on God with all your heart like a man, not like some little sissy, and you're going on a mission trip today. Hey, you're going on a mission trip. Get out next door to your house. Go down and get that druggie. Go down and say where you're at. Go get your friend. Go get the one that needs the Lord. Go right around you, man. You got a mission field all around you, man. I'm sending my kids on a mission trip." Woo! Them boys wasn't whipped up a long time ago, brother. You know they wasn't. Woo! Woo! And I know that's not a good theological term, doctor. Would you help me on that word, wimp? Give me something, you know, something. Some big word. Is that a good word? Then vaunt out yourself. Decorate things that don't even have honor. And then crucify the ones that do. With their jealousy and with their not respect of honor. That's a wrong way. And the only way I can handle it is as a man. War's getting on, buddy. If you don't understand the battles and the wars, then you're going to have a nervous breakdown. That's why they're dying in wars and boys killing themselves. More kill themselves in this thing than ever was. When you try to talk to them, you can't talk to them. Vaunt yourself. Don't vaunt yourself. There's vigilance and the victory that needs to be won. The fearful went back. Now you say that's a term, you know, Brother Harvey, you're handling a very hard. Well, let me see if I can handle it a little rougher. First mentioned word, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in what? The lake which burneth with fire. Well, that's pretty tough, buddy. You know what that fearful means there? Timid. Going to go to hell with sorcerers? Going to go to hell with murderers and abominable? First word mentioned was fearful. The disciples prayed to be filled with the Holy Ghost, not how good they could preach, not whether everybody's going to accept them or not, not whether or not everybody thinks they were pretty good, that they might have courage to go out into the streets and tell about Jesus and preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and have courage to preach the Word of God unto a lost people, amen, and not unto each other. Woo! Don't go down under the Cardinal Stadium with me next time up in Kentucky. I'm going down there in between the morning and the evening service. Witness down there with Brother Griffiths. Down underneath there. Fearful. You go down in there and go into those areas. I was down in Goshen, Mississippi years ago. I was preaching for this preacher. And I was telling somebody about him being up here for Brother Tommy. That used to be Tommy Hensley. And that preacher came in that meeting up there from Goshen. And we got done preaching there, and it was about 9:30 or so. And we got done. He said, Brother Harvey, let's get in the car. We're going to wait. He's going soul winning. I said, Brother, it's 10 o'clock. It's almost 10 o'clock, and this is Sunday night. I don't want to go right down, you know. He said, we're going out here and witness out here at a parking lot or at a car wash. I said, all right. I didn't want to go. I'm sitting here talking about how I'm ready to go. I didn't want to go. I want to go lay down, man. I'm tired. And we got in the car. We went down there. Went in the backside. I'm sitting in that housing project. When we pulled up, them black kids going. He jumped out of his car and said, I'm not the police. I'm not the police. So they turned around and come back. So I went over there, and there stood a man on against this vacuum cleaner. Big old boy standing there with a beard, you know, and looking mean. He's cleaning his fingernails with that switch right now. He cleaned that fight, and I went up to him and looked up at him. He said, what are you doing out here? I said, I'm a preacher. Just kept looking. Now, I come up to him, and at first I said this way. I said, I'm a preacher, and we're out here witnessing, talking. I wasn't scared. I wasn't no nervous, but I just didn't know how to put up all that right there, you know, back on the back side of the street and everything else. I don't know what it was. And I started talking to him. I said, I'm a preacher out here witnessing to you. He said, what are you doing out here? And I said, that crazy preacher brought me. I didn't want to come. I said, he brought me. And it broke the ice. He put it up and started looking at me. He said, preacher, he said, I'm from the Carolinas. I'm from North Carolina. I'm a preacher's son. And I looked at him. He looked at me and I said, somebody's praying for you, buddy. I said, somebody's praying for you. He looked at me. I said, how in the world a preacher from Tennessee get all the way down here to Goshen, Mississippi and come in the back of here and talk to you about Jesus? Somebody's praying for you. It didn't hit him, buddy. It hit him. He said, where are you preaching at? I said, up here in the revival. He never came. Well, what'd you do? God gave him the appointment. Spoke to him about the Lord. Witnessing to him about Jesus, telling him about the Lord. That's all I got to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. But I'm not going to help him if I don't go out there, and I'm not going to be any good if I don't go tell it. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I don't want to just go out on soul winning 101 and have my hand, and you ought to do that with tracks and everything. Why don't somebody see the need of people without God and see the souls of people and go get them and bring them to Jesus and quit worrying about whether or not you're going to do anything for God? Win them to Christ, amen. Get out and get them, amen. Get out and get them, young people. The lady that's working in the kitchen. The little boy. Which one was the little boy that cried last night? He said he remembered the seats were full. Was that you? He said, I remember when the seats were full and people were all in here. That's good memories, ain't it? Well, son, one thing about it is all them people that most a lot of them my way or done gone on to heaven. And I'm left standing all alone, seems like. My fathers and all them that talked to us and preached to us are gone. But as some of the preachers said today, you can have God's glory, but you're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to dig it out just like we did. You're going to have to surrender all just like we did. By our young people, that's what I tell my daughter. She remembers the camp meeting tonight that we all talking about where you surrendered and everything. I was there too. You know where I was standing? Right behind Doug. He was playing the piano. You know what I had sitting right there? My little 12-year-old girl named Shanna. She was sitting right there. You know what all the kids were doing that night? Crying. They wasn't scared either. They wasn't scared, you know. Now, you scare a bunch of them if you get like that nowadays. It scares them to death. It scares this bunch to death when you get like that. You wouldn't want to been there that night. It was absolutely unbelievable. She's sitting there crying. It went on for 2 or 3 hours. Not long ago, we were going down the road and she called me on her cell phone. She said, "Dad, my son Tyler is going to a camp meeting or a youth rally." She said, "I want him to see what I saw when I was just 12 years old. I want him to see what I saw." You don't boast of anything until you hang the harness up. As a man is, so is his strength. What's it going to take to stop you? As a man is, what is it going to take to stop you? I told the other day, and I know it's just a matter of all these things. Person I was talking to, and they said, "I wish you'd stop. Please stop. Please stop." Because every time I see the enemy, and every time I watch that television, and every time I walk out the door and I see all the stuff that's going on, it bothers me. It bothers me. I'm not going to get callous to sin. And I'm not going to get careless either. I'm not going to get that way. I want it to continue to bother me. I want to get stirred when I go into the city of Athens. And Paul was stirred in spirit as he saw him given over to idolatry. It stirred him. It stirred him, and he got in an argument with the philosophers, the Stoics and the Epicureans. And they called him a babbler. They called him a babbler. That the definition of that is a Tennessee hillbilly that come out of the hills and don't know nothing. Got 2 minutes. What's it going to take to stop you? And I settled down in a matter of settling down. And I said to her, and I said, "Listen." And I spoke to the devil, Brother Hoy. I didn't speak to that person. I said, "I am not going to stop." Good soldier. Well, what kind of men, as thou art, so were they. Now, get her done. What kind of men were slain there at Tabor? Broken-hearted men. What kind of men have fallen in the battle? Broken-hearted men. What kind of men have lost the war there? They had lost the war, they just lost the battle. lost the war. They didn't lose when they took hell. They didn't lose. They were brokenhearted over the things that didn't take place and all those things of that battle. And that boy watched that, and fear came in his heart to take the battle on. How many men that we know have taken their lives? I mean, great men. I gotta quit. As thou art, so were they. They were brave men, but they were broken. And Gideon took them on, and they took them on up there, and he said, "Now, as I do, so shall it." We need some leaders. We need some good soldiers that would lead this thing. And Monroe, when they up there with, and Monroe, what that talk about that meeting, and I can't keep his name on it. He's older now. He preached that night, and he preached on fit for the fight. Fit for the fight. Are you fit for the fight? Are you fit? Lord Jesus, thank you for it. I pray that we wouldn't fear to draw the sword. And I pray, God, that the young people, that they might take their minds and courage. And I pray that we'll be leaders. That as we do, Lord, as it would be in the matter of leading them into the battles that they might have to take on. Let us be a good example. Let us be a good soldier. Lord, let us take the battles on and then show them the victory that is in the Lord. And God, even those that have been broken, I pray, wounded soldier that's been hurt in the battles, I pray, God, that you would not create a young people or raise up a young people that fear to draw the sword. In Jesus' name.